Episode number 51 of Roundtable 105.
Coming in hot with our NFL Week 1 recap and ask the question everybody wants to know, why are NFL kickers so bad at kicking?
Not to mention, we got to talk about stupid movie remakes.
And we'll take a close look at the social dilemma.
This is Roundtable 105 on Radio.com, where Rock 105's Sean Stewart, Greg Rambin, and Boner, you know, sit at a round table and talk and stuff. Thanks for joining us as we revisit this week's nonsense. Yeehaw! From Chattanooga, Tennessee, this is Roundtable 105.
Yeah, we made it to another one.
How close are we to 50? When's our 50th one?
That was last week.
That was last week.
Oh, what?
Thanks for keeping it
out. Wow. Yeah. Well, nobody said anything last week. There should have been some fanfare and, you know, all that. Yeah, some kind of maybe a cake or a pie. Something.
A cannoli or two.
Yeah, those are delicious. I love those.
Yeah, man, me too. But no, we went right past it. We were so focused on the content at hand. We were like, we blew right past, you know, a huge milestone. So this would be number 51. So does that mean we've done a full year, or do we have to do 52 for it to be a full year?
I don't know. I don't know exactly when we started, so, you know, which, like, the date.
Well, we did do a full year. We just skipped like 1 or 2 weeks around Christmas time, right?
So this is the 51st overall. So when you get to 52, that puts a stamp on one full calendar year. So
yeah.
One more to go.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, like radio stations do, you know, a lot of times, not us, but other stations, you know, they see it's like 2 years equal 1 year. You know, next thing you know, they're having their 75th birthday. Mm-hmm. You're like, how the hell did that happen? You just went on the air like 4 years ago.
It's like dog years.
Yeah. I don't.
Or dancing with the stars years. Because what? They're like on their 900th season. It's only been running 2 years. But they've done 900 seasons. I don't understand how that works.
Well, they have a never-ending cast they can pull from. They can get, you know, washed-up entertainers. They can get athletes. They can get murderers. They got a lot of people they can choose from.
So did you see how the family of Carol Baskin's deceased husband sort of trolled Dancing with the Stars? They actually ran a commercial during Dancing with the Stars. If you have any information about our father who is missing, please call this number.
Yeah, it was what a troll move by them. I mean, just an all-time, you know, F you to Carol Baskin.
Oh,
she's up there, like,
yeah,
highlight of her life, like on Dancing with the Stars. And here's the family calling attention to the fact that she pretty much killed her dad and fed him to the tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was great. This is brilliant. I love this. This pleases me. It makes me happy that they did that. I mean, I think, and it's just my opinion, I think she's a scumbag, and I don't really like her a whole lot. And furthermore, she can't dance.
Yeah, what do you think about her dancing? Go. Did you like her hippie Bonnaroo hula hoop moves?
I didn't see it. I did not see it. I just happened to be walking through when Entertainment Tonight was on earlier, and they said, and Carol Baskin's got the lowest score in the history of the world. You know, or the lowest score of the night anyway. And I thought, well, that's what you get for, you know.
I wish they had like a cartoon trap door, and when she lost, they just opened up and fed her to tigers.
That'd be cool. Now, that would be all right.
I'm down with that.
And I don't know. Man. I mean, I watched The Tiger King, and I came away from it going, I don't know. She looks kind of guilty here and looks like kind of a nutbag.
Yeah, she looks like somebody who would definitely – like, would she brought up reference to the fact that, like, how are you going to kill him with, like, sardine oil? I mean
– yeah, the sardine oil was what got it for me. Yeah.
Like, how would you shoot that person? With a gun? No. wouldn't. What do you mean? So that's, yeah, she's just, she's, yeah, I convict. I'm not even on the jury, but if I was, yeah, she'd be straight to prison.
Yeah, convicted.
But what a move by the family, man. They were like planning that and they shot their shot, man. They hit. They got everybody talking about it. That's, and you know, they're going to be, some cop somewhere is going to try to get famous and solve this thing.
Well, I mean, you know, for the family's sake, I really, truly hope they do, whether it's her, you know, Carol Baskins, you know, or, you know, whoever, whatever. I still hope that they absolutely, you know, solve that case, you know, for the family. That's, it's horrible. But, you know, I don't know of anybody that watched Tiger King and walked away going, oh, that Carol Baskin seems like an awesome person. I want to hang out with her, you know. No,
she's a loody tune for sure.
Yeah. Just, so, you know,
and they're doing the Tiger King spinoff show with Nick Cage as Joe Exotic.
Oh, well, they're going to do a scripted show with Nick Cage.
Yeah. Oh, on wow. Amazon. That should be something to look forward to. Never.
Well, oh, come on. That might be awesome.
Yeah.
That may be great.
Like, he's pretty much on the same level mentally currently as Joe Exotic, it seems. So he might be able to just step right into that role.
Oh, come on, man. Nicolas Cage is all right. I got no beef with Nick.
I don't know. The last decade for Nick, I mean, he kind of been a little rocky waters for him out there.
Look for Nicolas Cage, get this. You are an actor. And I keep going back to Jaws 4. Stay with me, guys. Jaws 4 has none of – I take that back. It has one of the original stars from the very first Jaws. It is the wife of Sheriff Brody. Same actress. Her name escapes me at this time. Co-starring Michael Caine. Michael Caine, his greatest quote about Jaws 4 is, he goes, I have never seen Jaws 4, but I have seen the house that Jaws 4 bought for me. And it is quite a wonderful house.
That's a nice quote right there.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to achieve that level of stardom of your place in the acting world, to go ahead and go, yeah, I'll be in your movie, but it's going to cost you this much.
Yeah. And I love Michael Caine. Dude's awesome.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I mean, what was the one movie with him and Steve Martin?
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, dude, that is a great movie. That's hilarious, Ruprecht.
Can I go to the bathroom? Yes, you may.
Thank you.
Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.
See, Sean's probably never seen it, but the movie's hilarious.
It's wonderful.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. All right. So did you see this this woman who cut off her hand to get the insurance money?
What?
Sounds great, but no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was in Slovenia. And took out like five insurance policies, totaling $1.2 million. So she and her boyfriend had a scheme that they would take a circular saw and cut off her left hand. Yeah, which is exactly what they did. They cut her hand off and tossed it over there and then hopped in the car and took her to the hospital and did not bring the hand with them, you know, to make sure that this is a permanent thing.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody else, I don't know if somebody found the hand. Oh, look, a hand, you know, or the hospital went, yeah, we kind of need that hand and sent somebody to go get it. But they went and got the hand and sewed it back on and it's all perfectly fine. But so they put her hand back on, got that thing reinstalled. And then she got busted for insurance fraud for trying to collect on this this $1.2 million in policies. And she ended up, she just got 2 years in jail for that. And I thought about it. I'm like, you know, if you're ballsy enough to cut your hand off for $1.2 million, you deserve it. They should cough it up.
No jail time either. You already went through punishment.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You just earned that. I mean, that's, you earned it. That's, that would, that whole thing, that must have sucked. Circular saw cut my hand off.
How drunk? Funny. How drunk? How high? How messed up are you when you go, hey, baby, would you like me to take insurance out on your hand and say we cut your hand off? Baby, I love you.
What do you think that we could to maybe cut your hand off and then go on the holiday vacation? What think you?
This happened in Transylvania?
In Slovenia. Yeah, I don't know
where. Slovenia.
Yeah, I
don't know. Slovenia. And you know who ruined it? You know who ruined it? Moose and Squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah. Moose and Squirrel. Squirrel pick up hand, bring hospital.
That sounds like an, that sounds like the Saw movie. That's just
no, it's that Robert De Niro classic, Rocky and Bullwinkle, the motion picture.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
What think? I think you're out of your GD mind. Get out.
Beat it.
I know. At what point do you reach where you go, you know, cutting off my hand for $1.2 million? Yeah, I could see that happening.
This hand ain't making me no money. Yeah.
I mean, it could. You know, you just have to make some different choices in life. You know, really put that hand to use. There's ways.
I wonder how old that person was. Like, if that person's like over 50, like 60, he's like, yeah, this hand's had some, you know, some time on this earth I can do without. But if that's like a 27-year-old hand, that's a big decision.
Yeah. You know, a 25-year-old hand, man, that's still got some miles left in it. You know,
yeah, if you're like,
if I'm 89 years old, it's like, well, I'm done with this one anyway. You know, I'm probably not going to.
I still got arms at that point. It's got arthritis.
My right hand is really, and it was her left hand. Like, my right hand is really my working hand. So,
Boner, so are you left-handed or right-handed?
Oh, I'm right-handed.
Okay, so you would go for the left-handed $1.2 million hand.
Yes, yeah, that would definitely be lefty.
And
cut it off yourself, or would you let somebody else do it for you?
There's no way I could cut my own hand off, no. I'm pretty sure that's, no, there's no way, no way I could do that. On the other hand, I'm not sure I could let somebody else cut my hand off either.
Did you just say on the other hand?
Like
the other hand, back to the left hand. Stick with the left. Yeah, never mind. No cutting off my hand.
I will recommend this rather interesting documentary if you have not canceled your Netflix subscription because of Cuties, is to watch The Social Dilemma. It's a wonderful, wonderful documentary, and it interviews a lot of different people who have worked for Google, who have worked for Facebook, who have worked for, I think, even MySpace. There were people on that were talking about it, and just how people, when they started the social media, when they started Google, when they started Facebook, they really wanted all of the utopian ideas that one can think of when you think of social media. However, it has become this electronic endorphin machine for most people, is that you want to hope that you get likes. I mean, likes were originally created to, it will make people feel good. Well, what the end result is years later is that, man, I just posted this picture of this delicious meal that I cooked for my family and no one has liked it. So it leads to depression. And that is, it's a fascinating documentary. I recommend it for everyone of all ages.
You explain that very well. I watched it earlier tonight, and it's wild how they just, not just collect data, but then like use it against you to like hyper-target yourself, and like you're manipulating yourself every time you go on the computer. And these people who invented it are just like you said, like, yeah, we did it to do this, but it turned out we've just eliminated social interaction with people. Like human beings can just be in a cave with a computer, and that's all you need. It's wild the way they inadvertently change the world, and data collection and marketing and sales and how they sell stuff to us and how quickly, like how stuff we're talking about right now just on this podcast. Like you say a word out loud, like your computer, your phone's listening to you. You
exactly.
May not really believe, but it heard you say it. So now it's going to hyper-target you for
The thing is, Sean, I honestly don't care. I don't care if I go on to my Facebook and suddenly they are giving me ads for a brand new microphone, or they are giving me ads for a new show that I might be interested in on Netflix or Amazon Prime, whatever. I do not mind that. I really don't. However, it is those sneaky clickbait stories that just make you want to make your head explode. And it is also, keeping an eye on my parents who fall for a lot of this crap that of the crazy stories that are out there. And I'm not going to get into any of the specifics there, but I think anyone with a modicum of intelligence understands that we're being played a lot of times every time we go on to social media, because it is trying to get a rise out of us. And at the same time, when people say things like, well, you're in the media as well. Yes, I am in the media. But quite honestly, and I think Sean and Boner both will agree with me, is that our purpose is providing a little bit of entertainment in between the songs that you love. That's what we do on Rock 105. We make jokes about the fact that we're mostly fart jokes and stupidity throughout the day on Rock 105. And that's really what we want. One of my best friends in the early days of Facebook, he said, what I love about Facebook is that it should be a playground rather than a bully pulpit. And that's really what I like Facebook to be, is to be a playground where you feel like you can have fun. However, as Boner said earlier, I haven't been on Facebook because every time I go on, there's some idiot professing some conspiracy theory or some stupid minutia of information. Is that right
that
now,
guy thinks he's right with the information he got that's been hyper targeted towards him from some crazy whack job, and all he sees is just that. He doesn't see your side or the other side. He only sees what's being directly sold to him, not even realizing it, and it just, his opinions are coming straight back to him to just reinforce his own opinions. It's wild.
And, kind of the way that I looked at it months ago, I really started thinking about it. And I went, you know what? Here's what happens. People post some kind of crazy whatever it is. Their political whatever it happens to be. And their friends go, yeah, you're smart. That's awesome. Like, way to go. And then it's like you are really broadcasting. It's like having your own little stupid radio station that basically only your friends listen to, because everyone else ignores you and goes, well, this is stupid, until you say something that they go, no, that's not right. And then all of those people who were on there, then they start attacking you as well. And it's a complete nightmare, you know, of people, you know, sitting there trying to get likes out of their friends, you know, to reinforce, you know, their thoughts or their beliefs or whatever it is. And it's all good until somebody disagrees with you. And then when the disagreement happens, that disagreement will happen. But when it does, all of those people jump all over you. So there is no conversation, generally speaking, anymore. It is, I'm right, and all my friends think that I'm right. So if you disagree with me, you're wrong.
Which is why people are just their own little bubbles and have just defriended anybody who has a different thought process of themselves.
Yes, which is awful. I mean, yeah, you got exactly, actual friends. You know, I don't need to hear your crap.
Two of the things that really stood out in the social dilemma is, one, that there was one person, she had a PhD, gosh, I really can't remember in what, it may have been psychology, but she said specifically, she goes, I have friends that I keep that I disagree with, just so that I can hear both sides of the argument. And I completely agree with her, because I have very left wing friends within my social media, and I also have very right wing friends in my social media as well. And that is one of the things, is that we need to keep those people in order for us to continue to have at least some facsimile of human interaction, and not this cancel culture that if you disagree with me, then we're done.
And, you got to follow the other side so you can see where they're coming from. That's why, like, instead of disagreeing with them, like, you're like, okay, this makes sense to this person. Looking at their timeline, I could see why they think like this. It's not just like, oh, my God, where'd you get that take from? Like, they have their, you know, their own ability to create their own thoughtful decision and perspective. But when you look at both sides, you're like, all right, well, you know, it's just – same thing with sports for me. Like, I'm a huge Yankee fan, but I follow – the other teams too, so I know what's going on, like who's hurt, who's not, like friends close, enemies closer. I mean, that's, we've been living like that
for Sean, I'm sorry, you're either a New Orleans Saints fan or you're shit, so stop. I'm done.
We're done. Goodbye.
There's other teams out there you can like too, Greg.
There are no other teams except the Saints. What are you talking about?
No, there wasn't this weekend. I was only caring about the Saints because they were playing the Bucks, and the Bucks beat by the Saints.
Hey, how'd you like that game?
I did not like that game. The Bucks looked terrible.
They looked old and retreaded.
No, they didn't look old and retreaded, you jackass. They look like they didn't practice. It was kind of weird. It looked like first week preseason game for the Bucks. Now the Saints came in. They looked sharp.
It was like that for every team, though. It really was. I mean, because this was like a preseason game, but not a preseason game because nobody had preseason.
No, and what I'm saying is the Bucks played like it was a first week preseason game, and the Saints didn't. They came out and looked sharp.
Because the Saints are the Saints, and the Bucks are the Bucks. Well, same thing as, like, you know, the Jets are the Jets, and the Browns are the Browns. You know, 2020 has been awful in all kinds of different ways, but the kind of normalcy we have is in football. The Browns are the Browns, the Bucks are the Bucks, the Jets are the Jets. They all suck every year. Doesn't matter what players they get. They're cursed by those teams.
I will say when it comes to the Buccaneers, I mean, think about it. You have a brand new quarterback for this team.
Well, they've
got to work on being together. They have never been together, really.
And so, that's that probably played a major part in in all of this. In that, I think it played a big part, but not the only part. I think the, I mean, all the penalties that the Bucks had on their offense and their line was terrible. You know, it was offside after offside after offside. It was just it looked like it looked stupid. But I mean, that's definitely true. I mean, Brady had like no time to actually be on a field with his team, you know, to get exactly. that kind of thing together. And yeah, a lot of those dudes, I mean, most of, you know, the Saints have been Saints. It's, you know,
right.
They've been playing together. I mean, there's obviously additions and subtractions and all of that every year, but, dude, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Saints outplayed them. They look better. And, you know, I'll look forward to the next time. I'm hoping the next time the Bucks actually get it together. I'm hoping next week the Bucks get it together. I don't know.
I'm hoping they lose. I think when they lose.
Yeah, honestly,
you just concentrate on your Jets, okay?
Like, the Jets always suck. There's no expectations.
Just worry about the Jets. And
I'm fine with the Jets. They're going to lose. Do you think the Jets...
Well, just because your team sucks, you don't got to, like, be all down on mine. Kiss my ass.
I think the Jets would beat the Bucks. I think that would be a good game.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
You know,
I'm sure Brady, they don't play, but if they did, the Bucks would beat their ass because the Jets are just playing terrible.
Yeah, and the Bucks are like one notch better.
One notch is all it takes.
You know, the Jets got an old, washed up, retired quarterback once too, in Brett Favre, and he led us nowhere. So, good luck.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, the bad thing is, you had nothing else to go around him either, which is why you suck every year, because all of the players suck. It's not like, oh, only our quarterback blows. The rest of the team's awesome.
Here's what matters.
You all suck. The whole team sucks. Right. The coach sucks. The owner sucks. The stadium sucks.
Yep. You can take the best team in football. Put the
it's in New Jersey, which also sucks.
Yep. Ding. Put the entire Kansas City Chiefs in New York Jet uniforms. Have them go play for the Chiefs. Everybody in that organization, they're all of a sudden New York Jets. And the Jets are now the Chiefs. The Jets still go 5-11. And now the new Chiefs with the old Jets would win the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter the players. Those organizations are just cursed. Same thing with the Bucks. You got one of the best quarterbacks ever. And it'll be lucky if you sniff the playoffs. Because you're the Bucks.
Well, I hope not, but but you're just down on anything Tampa Bay, so I don't even want to hear it out of you anymore.
See, you stepped into this because what sucks for you is I've hated Tom Brady forever.
I hate the Patriots. I hate Tom Brady. I've hated him since day one. So you stepped on a field in a Patriot uniform, and I said, I hope a meteor lands on that stadium. And you're like, you're right in the middle of the game. Boom, you know, and just take it out like a whole dinosaur, you know, type situation, you know, maybe some kind of crazy Tunguska Patriot Stadium, Gillette Stadium, levels everything. Hate them all.
Brimstone. I'm right there with you. I'm cheering with you. Like, yeah. But now you inherited the enemy. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, well, what am I supposed to do? I mean, this is worse for me than you. All of a sudden, I have the enemy. I just married him. You know, this is no good.
So I can't feel bad about making fun of the guy every week just because he's on your team. Like, I'm sorry, but, you know, we're big boys.
All right. You know what? I'll give you can still hate Tom Brady if you want to.
Like, if you had any other quarterback, like, I don't purposely dislike the Bucks. They share a parking lot with the New York Yankees spring training right over there. Like, I'm a fan of Dale Mayberry Parkway. Like, I have nothing that bad against Tampa Bay Bucks except for the fact they employed Tom Brady. So they are now dead to me until he leaves.
Well, it won't be long. It's only like, you know, a year or two. So
he'll die. He's like old anyway.
Question, and pardon my ignorance here. Why did Tom leave the Patriots, Boner?
I don't know.
Was it the salary cap?
No, I think they were willing to pay him. I mean, his contract was up.
Right.
And I imagine they would have paid him. Sean, do you know anything different on that? Because I know that I'm pretty sure the Patriots would have paid him.
Yeah, it goes back to, like, Bill Belichick has his way of doing things. Tom Brady has his way of doing things. The two have been together for so long. They've had a bunch of success together. The owner was kind of just manipulating things, like giving each one what they wanted. And they couldn't even really talk to each other anymore. And Brady and Belichick are just kind of like – it came to a point where they were just like, we can't do this together anymore. So okay. Now Brady wants to prove that he can do without Belichick. And Belichick wants to prove that he can do without Brady. So we'll see.
Well,
just one of those marriages that just broke up after, you know, struggle.
You have somebody completely new to hate. We both do. And well, I've hated him anyway for a long time. Cam Newton. But I still hate the Patriots. Can't stand Cam Newton. Can kiss my ass. See, and he's a perfect fit for going into New England because he's a cheater anyway.
See, what I like about Cam Newton is that everybody in Boston, like, hated him so much because he's so flamboyant. Like, he's everything opposite of the Patriots, and now they have to embrace it. Like, he showed up in a canary yellow suit on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I was going to bring it up. I was sitting there watching the postgame thing and started laughing my ass off, going, look at this idiot. What are you wearing? I had to take out my phone. I swear to God, take out my phone and take a picture of the TV so that I could laugh at it later.
I'd say it was something great to laugh at, but that shows confidence. You don't wear that suit if you're going to lose the game. Like, you know, that's some swagger rolling up to work in, man. But that's what I like about Cam Newton is I just like that I don't give a crap attitude. Like, I dig that. And wearing that outfit your first day in Foxborough, that's a ballsy move, but he backed it up. So well, I don't know if I can. I'm still hating the Patriots. I just a part of me likes Cam because he's a pretty good troll, and I respect that part of him.
Yeah, whatever.
I have a friend who has been a lifelong Cincinnati Bengals fan, and we should all stop and have a moment of silence for him and his fandom of Cincinnati Bengals. However, this year, I may become a secondary Bengals fan because the former quarterback of LSU, Joe Burrow, is now the quarterback for the Bengals. And even though he lost his debut in the NFL, he still showed some promise out there. And again, I found it similar to Tom Brady and his new team with Joe Burrow in his new team as well, is that it's going to take a period of adjustment.
Yeah, except well, Joe Burrow's like 30 years younger.
Well, yeah, I understand that too, yeah.
But you know what? Nobody expected Joe Burrow to go out there and play well. Or to lead his team to victory in his first game. Nobody really expected that. That right. wasn't any kind of a serious expectation. Yes, we want you to go out and play well. We want you to, you know, we need you to learn. We're basically throwing you in the fire, and we need you to learn on the job. This is the best way to do it. So get in there, take your licks, take your lumps, you win, lose, whatever. But you're going to learn, and you're going to learn how to be an NFL player, like on the job training. And that's the way it's going to go. So, you know, he had a little bit less pressure, I think, than a Tom Brady walking in as, you know, maybe the expected or hopeful savior of the universe, you know, in Tampa Bay.
Well, they both have an uphill climb. I mean,
savior of the universe. He can save every one of us.
Yeah. That was Flash Gordon theme, yeah. By the way, Sean.
Okay. I thought it was Masters of the Universe.
No, totally different.
No. You know, the guy that played Flash Gordon, who was in that movie, Ted, are you caught up with us yet, Sean?
Oh, yeah, the cocaine guy.
Yeah, that's him. Okay.
Yeah. I know him now. He's cool. So, but that Joe Burrow game, like, he lost that game on the field goal that the kicker missed at the end of the game. They would have won the game, but the kicker, like, pulled a hamstring, which, what a move. You're the kicker. Ah, I missed it, and all of a sudden his leg starts hurting. Like, I don't know, to be mad at him or have be sympathetic for him.
Yeah.
You got one job, man. Take care of one.
That's all you got to do.
Freaking leg. All you got to do is take care of one leg. That's it. You don't really have to, you know, be bitching with both legs. Just one leg. Just take care of one.
And gets it when you're.
Who cares whether you even have arms? You don't even need a head. Just one leg. That's all you got. Just do that.
Couldn't even get it done.
No.
And then it was just a tough day all around for kicking. Last Monday Night Football, the Titans got the old Patriots place kicker. His name is like Steven Gwatkowski. And he missed three field goals and an extra point in that game. So that's 3, 6, 9. He was responsible for the team not having 10 points all alone. And he's just the kicker.
Wow.
Then when the game was getting ready to end.
It was not a good day for ex-Patriots.
No, not at all. But then when the game was coming to an end, he actually hit the field goal to win the thing. So the Titans won their season opener game.
Steven Gostkowski trots onto the field. He can erase the nightmare of a game that it is for him with four missed kicks by just hitting this one. A chippy from 25. On the way. And splits the uprights. 16-14.
I just love how they had to work in. He's already missed four kicks tonight. And now he's got a chippy from right here.
It's only 2 feet. You can do it.
You can do it. And that guy's been kicking in the NFL for like 25 years. But my question is, like, does the team, they won the game, he hit the game-winning field goal. Is he off the hook for the 10 points he cost the team to be in that spot to begin with? Like, do they give him swirlies on the plane on the whole flight home? Or are they just like, dude, you hit the field goal, bygones be bygones, but just do better next time. I don't know.
Nah, I think he deserves at least 10 swirlies on the plane.
Gotsy, right? You can't just get all – like, you cost us 10 points, man. What do you
got on the plane, and immediately the coach just pointed at the lavatory. Go. Go. You got 10 swirlies coming. Go. He
grabs him by his back and wedges him up real quick and carries him back there.
Yeah, that's right. Couple of linemen. Grab him. Grab him, boys. And they pick his ass up. And you can get a beer first if you want, but you're getting 10 swirlies. I don't care. Go. Yeah,
we expect better. Because those guys would have got like the fourth quarter off probably. Like, you made us play every minute of that game to the very end. If you would have made a kick 15 minutes earlier, I could have been icing my knees down much earlier than I am now.
Yeah, dude. Maybe just, like, say, one kick.
One.
I'm not saying you had to make all of them, just one.
I mean, being a kicker, you would think it's not that hard. You're just standing there until it's time to kick. We're out there running around sweating.
We're over there reading a Hustler on the sidelines and smoking cigarettes. And
They're in that blue tent doing, like, things to themselves.
Yeah, they're under there. Oh, I might have a concussion down here. I need to check this thing out.
He's got, like, a medical lube in there. He's just, I got a cut on my groin. I pulled my groin.
Yeah. Don't come in. Don't come in here.
I cut my left hand off, so I've got to put that right hand to work, you know?
Life of an NFL kicker. Like, and then I wonder what happened, too. Like, if he missed that last kick and they ended up losing the game and he was responsible for 13 points and a loss. Like, then he doesn't even get on the plane at that point, right? They just make him walk back?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I don't know that he actually gets to sit with the players. I imagine he's in there with the luggage.
Yeah. They sent him on like a Sprint Airlines flight back.
You know, something. Here's your Greyhound bus ticket. It leaves in 20 minutes. Hurry up.
Get on that mega bus and get yourself back to.
Yeah, here's Nashville. $1. Hop the mega bus.
You make some new friends on there, and you have to explain to them why you're taking a bus back and you're an NFL player. because you suck at kicking.
Yeah. Here's your dollar.
An update, I know that we talked about Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, but another movie from a couple of years earlier from that, one of our favorites. It's one of those movies that is a rarity. It is a Thanksgiving movie, not a Christmas movie, but a Thanksgiving movie with Steve Martin again and John Candy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. An update.
Yeah, I don't like this idea here.
An update of that from 10 years ago that I just ran across on Netflix with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis called Due Date. Basically the same plot, but I found myself laughing out loud. I enjoyed it.
Somebody told me last week that I needed to watch this movie, and
it's called Due Date.
Yeah, so there is now confirmation that this is a worthwhile film.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's got what's his name, dude from The Hangover, Zach Galifianakis. It was kind of like his follow up to Hangover, but also on the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles thing, which. I thought you may have been going this direction. They're also remaking that with Will Smith and Kevin Hart.
Yeah, that's where I thought he was going with it. And stop remaking movies, man. Instead of hiring somebody to rewrite a movie, hire somebody with some kind of imagination at all. It can't possibly be that damn hard.
Or just do what Greg was just talking about. Make the same movie, just call it something else.
Right?
You remade Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and you called it Due Date. Half the people didn't even realize.
Exactly. Yeah. And they did make, and by the way, Boner, they did remake Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson. And
ooh,
I can't
love her.
And I can't remember the name of the movie now.
I think it was called Shit.
It may have been
exclamation point.
On both sides of the word shit. There's a ay, caca.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was. I did happen to watch that the other day. But another remake, and this is interesting. I'm actually a little bit interested in this, is that Netflix is bringing back Good Times, if you remember.
Good Times.
Dynamite. J.J. Walker. And John Amos as the patriarchal character from the 70s TV series Good Times. They're remaking it. However, they're doing it as an animated series on Netflix, which I think for some reason that really piques my curiosity.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
Is it?
No, not really. Not to me. But I mean, maybe it's great. I don't know. I'll wait until it comes out.
Again, it's easy if you make fun of things I don't know about.
Well, then you've got an entire universe of things to make fun of.
Lot to go on.
There were a certain amount of TV series and movies that came out in the late 70s that I really enjoyed. There was Good Times. I really enjoyed that show. I also enjoyed The Jeffersons. I also enjoyed,
dude, I've got it. I know the TV show because I loved this one.
It had a rerun.
Rerun. What's happening?
What's happening? That's it. Yes.
Yeah.
There was a certain series of shows, and in that TV show, What's Happening was loosely based on a movie that I saw back then as well called Coolie High. And all of these movies are part of what I grew up with in the late 70s. And it's for whatever reason, the fact that Good Times is coming back and as an animated series, I think that's what gets me, is that I don't want to see another actor portraying those characters that I grew up with.
Yeah, and I can understand that. But as soon as you started talking about Good Times, I immediately thought, what's happening? Because I loved that show. You know, watched it, all the reruns and all that. Hi. You know, Dwayne Wayne and, you know.
Raj. And Rerun. Rod
and Rerun. And then Rerun, I don't know if you guys knew this, Rerun for a time in the mid to late 90s. I know he's dead now, right?
I think
he died.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah. Rerun was running an acting studio in New York. And I caught wind of that, and I was doing mornings at a radio station in Illinois. So one day I'm like, really? Rerun's running an acting place. Huh. Interesting. So I got on the phone and I called the place. Guess who answers the phone?
No.
Rerun.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, what's his name? Fred Barry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Fred Barry answers the phone and he's like, you know, hey, how can I help you? I'm like, dude, is this Rerun? You know, he's like, hey. Yeah, I'm like, hey. I'm like, dude, no way. So we set up, you know, I told him who I was and all of this. And then, you know, I'm like, man, would you like to come on the air and, you know, do an interview? It'll be great. He's like, yeah, absolutely. So we set up this interview and the day of the interview and the time, you know, it comes about and he was supposed to call me and dude never called. And I'm like, man, did we just get stood up by Rerun? Really? This sucks. And it wasn't for like, you know, since, you know, there was no internet in 1995, 6, 7, it's probably somewhere in there. I mean, I guess there was, but, you know, I didn't find out. Dude got mugged.
Got
mugged that night, which is why he was not able to call me and do the interview.
Makes sense.
I'm like, say what? He got mugged? And you can look all this stuff up. You probably figure out exactly what year it was and everything else. But yeah, man, I loved Rerun. Rerun was awesome. Mm-hmm. And he was a really cool guy because, like I said, I called him and he just answered the phone. Hey, man. like, dude, it's Rerun.
By the way, Sean, in like the latter episodes of Good Times, Janet Jackson was one of the regulars on Good Times.
True.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Cool. Something to store in the back of my brain for a trivia night one night.
Exactly.
Well,
fun show,
look,
guys.
We're all learning stuff.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. Positivity and knowledge.
That's what we're trying to do. We do a lot of fart jokes. We do a lot of musical comfort food on Rock 105, and hopefully we do a little bit of that here on the Roundtable 105. We appreciate each and every person who has decided to click on this podcast and stick with us for an hour.
And by each and every one, he means both.
Both.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Thank you.